Jack and I did a lot of picking and grinning and caterwauling while we were up there. Vicki dubbed us as caterwaulers years and years ago. We had to look up and see what caterwauling meant. But anyway, we had a good time. We got to talking about it and got to comparing. And, you know, a lot of these things that we've always sung, whatever, we got to looking at how many Stamps Baxter songs that we do and that we love, and you know, like this one this morning, Farther Along. It was copyrighted in 1937, but that's all right. You know, I mean, that's just it's one of my favorites, and I just felt like it was what we needed to do this morning. Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never
And this is what one person had to say about the new year. Dear Lord, so far I've done well. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm very thankful for that. But in a few minutes, Lord, I'm going to get out of bed. And then from then on, I'm really going to need your help. Amen. So we see here, as we look at our passage, the word sinners here refers to missing the mark. It's an archery term that was used 522 times in the Old Testament, the word chada. And so we look at God's will for our lives being the mark. It's talking about repeatedly having a habit, having a lifestyle of missing that mark. The mark, of course, is the will of God. Sin is the transgression of God's law. And we all know that we are sinners, but that we accept Jesus Christ's free gift of salvation. If we accept Him as our Lord, then He covers our sin with His abundant grace. Just as hunters need to use a scope or a sight to accurately view deer, or whatever they are hunting that particular day, we need to have something that zeroes in on what God's will is. Why have we gone from having one Bible study a week to three? Because I believe that as a church, it's very important for us to read His Word so we'll have a better grasp of what His will is. And my prayer would be that we not only look at the Bible on Sundays, that our Bibles are used just as much on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That the Lord calls us to have a living faith, a 24/7 faith that's not confined to our activities on Sunday morning, but that we allow His law, His word, that we meditate upon it, that we memorize Scripture, that we read the Psalms, we read the Proverbs, and we think about what that means. And if you're like I am, you probably get something different out of reading the Bible every time. Every time I come to a passage, the Word of God opens up to me in another way, or I see how it connects to another concept in another way. So what we see here in Psalm 1 is that we need to be that tree planted firmly in the foundation of God's Word. In the foundation of God's Word, in the foundation of prayer, in the foundation of fellowship and discipleship, in the foundation of service, of helping other people, of supporting the mission. The church is helping a military veteran who had a traumatic brain injury when she was assaulted, and is helping her with a water heater because right now she has to boil water just to survive. And God's Word tells us that we are to grow deeper in Him in many ways. And my prayer for us, as we begin this new year, as we look to see what God has in store for us, is for us to concentrate on His Word and see what it is we need to be doing. The church is helping the victims of the tornadoes in North Texas. And I know people here who spend their time going to the mission or giving to the mission. I see people here who spend time each week visiting each of you. I see people in this church who have an abundant heart for others. And I'm very thankful to be in a church where there's so much compassion for other people. The word here refers, the word sinners refers to those who've deliberately chosen a way of life, a path contrary to the will of God. The man of blessings chooses to direct his life along God's path. A path of happiness, of safety, of protection, of comfort, of joy in God's people. How should we stand? Psalm 33:8 says, "Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." And when we read in the Bible, every time God shows up, people hit the ground because they're in awe of Him. Not only that, every time God's angels show up, people hit the ground because they're in awe of Him. They say things such as, "Have mercy on me, for I am a sinner." They're speechless. When God shows up, people stand or fall in awe. And my prayer would be this year, we live our lives Coram Deo, which in Latin means the face of God. We live our lives so that we know that God is there with us, so that we see God for who God is. Paul says we see but through a mirror darkly, but what we know from Scripture, what we know from coming together and worshiping together and singing the songs of faith, we know that we serve a great, awesome, and mighty God, and like Him there is no other. And if over 100,000 people can stand and applaud a football team, then we can do the same thing for God. We are to stand firm in faith, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. And in the ancient world, when there was a battle, the Roman legion would stand shoulder to shoulder in formation. If you've seen the movie Gladiator, if you've seen Ben-Hur, if you've seen any of the great movies, you've seen how those ancient armies would stand shoulder to shoulder. The Greek phalanxes would stand the same way, shield and spear together, standing firm. Together, they would not be easily defeated. But if there was chaos, if there was selfishness, if people were not on the same page, then the barbarians, the Persians, or whoever they happened to be fighting could easily rout them. Because once they broke out of formation, their protection was gone. And that is what we need to remember, to stay linked, armed in arm with our Lord, to stand firm in faith. We read about that in Ephesians chapter 6, when we're told to put on the full armor of God. That if you're on the battlefield and you don't have your armor on, you're weak and vulnerable. But with your armor, you're going to have a chance. We stand in awe of God, firm in faith. A person who's separated from the world will not sit in the seat of mockers. We have a lot of mockers in our world today. The word sit means to dwell, remain, or abide. The Bible doesn't say don't associate with people who do not know God. Jesus spent a lot of time associating with people who needed to hear about the gospel and the good news of God. What the Bible is saying, when you sit with them, don't dwell too long, and don't let that to become your lifestyle as well. So the Bible has a clear message. We are to go out into the world and help people. But on the other hand, while we're out in the world, we have to have our minds on eternity, our minds on Christ, our minds on our Lord, our minds on what matters in this world and what matters in the world to come. Past Gallup polls said that Christians don't act much different than non-Christians. So while it's important for us to read the Bible, while it's important for us to worship, while it's important for us to give to the poor, our lives should also reflect that. How do people mock the Word of God? Some by blatant ridicule or rejection. And if they don't know God, they don't know any different. If the Holy Spirit's not living in you, you will probably mock God or ignore God or turn away from God. But it's saying that as Christians, we're not to support that. Or by listening to the word proclaimed and then ignoring it. Being someone who's double-sided. Being someone who listens to God's word and then decides to live as if they're an atheist. How do we avoid these things? Our answer is in the next verse. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. In our culture, we usually think of meditation, we think of an Eastern monk going, But what this is talking about is whereas in Eastern mysticism, you meditate on nothingness. You try to get away from the world. This, when we meditate, we're meditating on God's word. We're meditating on God. There's something we are meditating about. And Christians have been meditating for 2,000 years. There's nothing wrong with thinking deeply about God. As long as when we think deeply, we think about God. The law of the Lord, this is the object of our delight. The law, of course, refers to the word of God. Notice this is not something that the blessed man has to do, but something he loves to do. Jeremiah said that the word of the Lord tasted like honey. This is not a burden for us to come together and worship. It's not a burden for us to study the Word. It's not a burden for us to sing. It's not a burden for us to help the poor. We do it because we love our Lord. It's an extension of who we are. Now, why is it that studying the Bible is important? What I'm going to read to you are some actual answers of students and what they say is in the Bible. And I've heard some pretty interesting things when I taught Bible as well. In the first book of the Bible, Guinness. That's a pretty interesting book of the Bible.
Guinness.
God got tired of creating the world. So he took the Sabbath off. Adam and Eve, they were created by an apple tree. Noah's wife was called Joan of Arc. Noah built an ark, which the animals came onto in P-E-A-R-S, pears. Lot's wife was a pillar of salt by day and a ball of fire by night. That's what I call wife there. Moses led the Hebrews to the Red Sea, where they made unleavened bread, which is bread without any ingredients. The Egyptians were all drowned in the desert. I guess spelling's important too. Afterwards, Moses went up to Mount Sinai and got the Ten Amendments. I can't even say anything about that one. The first commandment was when Eve told Adam to eat the apple. The fifth commandment is to humor thy father and mother. So, Alan, humor thy father and mother. Moses died before he ever reached Canada. Then Joshua led the Hebrews in the Battle of Jericho. The greatest miracle in the Bible is when Joshua told his son to stand still and his son obeyed him. David was a Hebrew king skilled at playing the L-I-A-R, the lyre. He fought with the Finkelsteins, a race of people who lived in biblical times. That's good. Solomon, one of David's sons, had 300 wives and 700 porcupines. Think about that one. The people who followed the Lord were called the 12 decibels. The epistles were the wives of the apostles. One of the opossums was St. Matthew, who was by profession a taxi man. And last, St. Paul cavorted to Christianity. He preached the holy acrimony, which is another name for marriage. A Christian should have only one wife. This is called monotony. And there are some who believe the following is a verse. Those that help themselves, that God helps those who help themselves. That's not even a verse in the Bible. So it's important that we study the Bible, or we'll believe some pretty interesting things. God doesn't expect us to be scholars. God's not telling any of us to lock ourselves up, or to go to a cave, or to live on a pillar, or to find a monastery. But God is expecting us to know His Word well enough to have a full relationship with Him, and to know His Word well enough that if someone asks us about Him, we will know what to say. That is why we study the Bible on Sundays and on Wednesdays, and we're going to have a new Bible study. Lieutenant General William K. Harrison was the most decorated soldier in the 30th Infantry Division. He received every decoration of valor except the Congressional Medal of Honor. He was honored with the Distinguished Silver Cross, the Silver Star, the Bronze Star for Valor, and the Purple Heart. He was one of the few generals who was wounded in action. General Harrison was a soldier's soldier who led a busy life, but he was also an amazing man of the word. When he was a 24-year-old West Point cadet, he began reading the Old Testament through once a year and the New Testament four times. General Harrison did this until the end of his life. Even in the thick of a war, he maintained his commitment by catching up during a 2 or 3 day rest in between battles. His story tells me that even the busiest person can have time to read the Word of God. And no one can be busier or lead a more demanding life than that general. And we read in our passage, and on his law he meditates day and night. And my prayer for us is that we will grow deeper, farther in our relationship with God. That we will meditate on his word. That we will spend time to grow closer to him and to grow closer to his people. That is my prayer for all of us. And at this time, if you need to come forward, if you have something on your heart to pray about, maybe one of these prayer requests we had today, if you want to make a decision today, if you feel that you need to have a relationship with our great Lord and Savior, or if you are called to service, this altar is open for you. There is room at the cross for